Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Welcome to a very Merry Christmas episode, and you're going to be glad you're listening. On today's show, we have an interview with Marge Korshak from Korshak Inc. Perhaps you've heard of her. Well, you'll definitely want to listen to her interview with Tom Williams. Also, we have another audio review for your listening pleasure. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another ecclesiastical episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of December 25th, 2006. The national tour of the recent Broadway smash hit 12 Angry Men will be playing at Chicago's LaSalle Bank Theater from January 30th through February 11th. The show will star Richard Thomas and Chicago's George Wendt in a production that was produced by New York's Roundabout Theater Company. The Broadway production of the searing courtroom drama was the longest-running production at the Roundabout Theater's home. The production marked the first time the show was ever seen on the Broadway stage, and it ran for a record-breaking 32 weeks. The tour will open at the LaSalle Bank Theater on the night of January 30th. Tickets are on sale for this limited engagement run, so be sure you click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section to find out how to get them. Composer Stephen Flaherty will be honored in person at the Bailiwick Mainstage Theater on Monday, March 19th. He will be honored with a musical review of classic Broadway songs written by the team of Flaherty and Aarons. The show will feature a talented cast of top Chicago theater performers performing a program that will include selections ranging from their earliest hits to their latest shows, some of which will be premiering this spring. The show will be starting at 7:30 on March 19th, and tickets for this benefit are $50 for the VIP seating. Otherwise, you can get $30 general admission, and all the funds go towards future Bailiwick musical productions. The Looking Glass Young Ensemble will be debuting with Mary Zimmerman's The Odyssey. The performances are going to be kicking off on January 21st, and it will be the ensemble's inaugural season at the Looking Glass's intimate Chase Studio Theater. So bring your family and get ready to strap in for high seas adventure when the Looking Glass Young Ensemble, which is comprised of 30 theater artists ranging from 8 to 18, present Homer's epic tale. So remember, the inaugural season starts on January 21st at the historic Water Tower Works. Don't miss it. Victory Gardens Theater has decided to extend the run of The Snow Queen. The new musical by Michael Smith, who we interviewed last week, will now be running through January 14th at the Biograph Theater. Congratulations, Michael Smith. Neil LaBute's Fat Pig, now playing at the Profiles Theater here in Chicago, has also been extended. You may remember our interview that we did about Fat Pig. You may want to check that out, because you'll now have longer to check out the show. The play will now run through February 25th. Well, thank you very much for listening to this ecclesiastical episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Sonnet number 8. Joy delights in joy. Well, we can't thank you enough for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Y'all Night Strut, conceived by Aaron Thielen and Mark Robin. Directed by Mark Robin at Marriott Theatre in Lincolnshire. Review by Tom Williams. When Marriott Theatre in Lincolnshire decided to mount Fran Charney's little dance review, The All Night Strut, first staged in the Old Drury Lane Evergreen Park in the late 1980s, it soon became apparent to Marriott Theatre's lead artistic director, Aaron Thielen, and director Mark Robin that they needed to expand the show for the dance-loving Marriott audience. They kept the songs but rethought and expanded the show to incorporate a full range of dance styles. Reinventing and improving old shows has become a ritual at Marriott Theatre, using 6 music arrangers, 5 choreographers, doubling the lighting budget and casting 23 performers and 10 musicians. The All Night Strut has emerged as the most expensive show ever at Marriott Theatre. It is also one of the finest shows they have ever mounted. It is a fabulous, eye-popping, toe-tapping, well-sung burst of energy. It is a marvel of innovation, dance variety, and a refreshingly new dance show. I love dance shows, and this 2-hour show swept me off my feet. I can't remember enjoying a show as much as I did this gem. The All Night Strut is part 30s, 40s swing and Lindy dance show, part Broadway musical showstopper, part dance concert with aerial elements and stomp rhythms, part ballet, hip-hop with jazz, jitterbug, swing, tap, Latin and modern dance, all fused into 17 scenes, held together with an MC mime, played with delightful humor by clown-faced Matt Schwader. From the opening number, Billy's Bounce, that featured deft jazz solos from onstage musicians, to the ultimate swing tune, In the Mood, smartly choreographed by swing experts Mark Stewart Eckstein and Beverly Durand, the all-night strut grabs us, never lets go, for 2 hours of astonishing dance and impressive singing. As I mentioned before, the show features many varied dance styles which can be seen throughout Act 1 in selections such as the modern ballet-styled Nightmare, a war dance choreographed by Sasha Vargas and expertly danced by the men's ensemble. Matt Rafferty and Christy Loom sing and dance the cute I Get Ideas in tribute to all young lovers everywhere. Susie McMonagall and Jim Weitzer landed the whimsical Fine Romance and Ain't Misbehaving, and the full cast tapped into our hearts with the Act 1 finale, Lullaby of Broadway. Act 2 opens to the music of White Cliffs of Dover, to which choreographer Sylvia Hernandez de Stasi offers a visually stunning aerial dance, complemented with beautiful lighting design by Diane Ferry Williams and Nancy Massimi's wonderful glowing bodysuits, which all work together to create a floating, Cirque du Soleil-inspired acrobatic heartstopper. Gershwin's fascinating rhythm featured drummer Joe Ludwig and Buddy Reeder battling in a stomp-style hip-hop meets tap and Latin rhythm that was both innovative and clever. Sasha Vargas' choreography was invigorating and full of the hot blood of youth. It left me breathless just watching from my seat. The show features many of the finest A-plus dancers that included Beverly Durand and Mark Stewart Eckstein, Buddy Reeder, and Allison Stadola, with music from Hoagy Carmichael, Duke Ellington, Cab Calloway, Charlie Parker, and the Gershwins. The All Night Strut has all the elements of a fun, energetic song and dance show that sets the standard for modern dance reviews. Don't miss this finely produced show. Kudos to Terry James, Aaron Thielen, and Mark Robin for their vision and bravery. This is one of 2006 highlight shows. My rating on the show? Highly recommended. The All Night Strut, directed by Mark Robin at Marriott Theatre in Lincolnshire. Now running through February 11th. Call 847-634-0200 for tickets and more information.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest today is the First Lady of Public Relations here in Chicago, Margie Korshak, who has been instrumental in promoting some of the biggest theater pieces in Chicago. Hello, Margie.
Hello. That is true. I have had the privilege and the pleasure of promoting the best things that have come to Chicago since the mid-70s. I haven't missed one, and I'm proud of the things I've done and proud of the shows that I've done, the pre-Broadway things, the long runs, the Chorus Lines, the Les Mises, the Phantoms, all of those.
Tell us what a public relations firm does for theater or for any of your clients.
Well, a public relations firm does many different things. I always say that I'm a doctor, that I wear a lot of hats, that I do first and foremost, when I first started in the business, everything was about publicity. It was getting names in columns, getting feature stories about the different stars that were coming. But the business today is altogether different. Today the business is about marketing, about promotions, about using things just like I'm doing with you over the internet. The business has totally changed in the 38 years that I've been doing this.
So at one time it was getting something in Irv Cupson into column.
At one time I was begging Irv Cupson to run an item. As the years went on, he was begging me for the item. That's how the business changed. He'd call me up and say, "What's new, Margie?" You know, that's how the business changed. It isn't all about columns anymore. It's about doing all kinds of different things and making special appearances at clubs and tying in with retailers and tying in with hotels. Anything that would give you more exposure, broader exposure than what you would just get out of a column item in a newspaper.
Tell us some of the celebrities. I saw a list of some people, and in your office I see these photos. I mean, Frank Sinatra, Liz Taylor, Liza Minnelli, the list goes on and on.
Oh, God, I don't even know. The first one that I worked with was Liza Minnelli.
Okay.
And that was in 1976. I had just been hired by the Schubert Organization, which was my first theater client. And I worked for them forever. And Liza came here to start a new show. It was a Broadway tryout here in Chicago, and it was directed by Martin Scorsese. So,
wow.
That's pretty interesting stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
That.
And it was first called Shine It On, and then it had a lot of problems. It was produced by Fuhrer and Martin, who were from the Civic Light Opera in Los Angeles, and really fine, fine producers, wonderful, two wonderful men. Anyway, they worked on the show here. Barry Nelson was in the show with Liza. But the show had a lot of book problems. It had not so different from what I'm doing right now that has book problems. Anyway, it wasn't working here. And they eventually went to San Francisco, and they hired Gower Champion to fix it. Scorsese was really not a Broadway director. I mean, he was a movie director. And this really is a different thing. Anyway, then Gower Champion took it over in San Francisco, and then it subsequently went on to New York. And when it went on to New York, it became the show was called The Act. It wasn't called Shine It On anymore. In fact, I have the window card in my front hall, which I'll show you when you leave, that from Shine It On, and I was offered thousands of dollars for that window card because it's Liza and it says directed by Martin Scorsese. I mean, it's a really valuable thing if you're into the theater business.
Yeah, the collectors. Yeah,
the collectors.
Cool.
Anyway, that was my first show. That was my first star. But before that, I had worked for Mill Run Theater, which was a theater in the Round in Niles.
Yep, yep. I saw many shows there.
And so that's where I really got my where I started to work with celebrities. I mean, I did Michael Jackson when he was 5 years old, and he was much darker than he is now. I did the whole Jackson 5. I did Rickles. I did Newley. I did Shecky Green. I did the Mills Brothers. I did Tody Fields. I did Liberace. I mean, you name it. They all.
Yeah,
that's
they
where I
to,
was first with celebrities.
So
then
they
I
brought
moved
in
into,
the celebrities.
Oh yeah,
for that
Mill
was
Run.
A celebrity oriented
yeah.
show.
Then I eventually moved from there on to Broadway in 19. I started with Mill Run in 1969, and then I moved on to Broadway in 1976 when the Schuberts hired me to work for them. I've really had the privilege of working with the best people in the business. I just finished doing Streisand, which was a real experience. I mean, she is absolutely the consummate performer, the best, very particular, very fussy about how everything should be. I mean, her staging and her lighting and everything, it was just absolutely spectacular and a privilege to work with her.
You also did Frank Sinatra, huh?
Many times. Well, Frank Sinatra had a relationship with my uncle. And my aunt was the best.
Who was your aunt and uncle?
My aunt and uncle were Bernice and Sidney Korshak, and my aunt Bernice was the matron of honor at their wedding.
Wow.
And Sinatra was an old family friend, and I did him many times, first at the Erie Crown Theater, then, of course, when the Chicago Theater reopened, I did the reopening of the Chicago Theater where he performed with Dean Martin and Sammy Davis. I worked with Sammy Davis. He was here in Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. For 10
I
weeks
remember
at, the
seeing
Erie,
that, yes.
at the Erie Crown Theater. I worked with him. I worked with Richard Burton. I worked with Rex Harrison. And every one of them has a different story. They were all characters in their own right. I had the real privilege of working with Henry Fonda, who later became a dear friend, and his widow is a very good friend of mine today. And so that was exciting. And I also worked with Brinner, and I'll tell you a great story about Yul Brynner. I did King and I 3 or 4 times. But the first time that I – and it's interesting because you asked me if I was ever going to write a book, and I said no. And I'll tell you what Brinner said about that. Right. The first time I took him to Cup Show, he was doing the show, and Lauren Bacall was doing the show. And she had just written her first book. And I think she wrote the book because at that time she needed the money. Anyway, and it was a tell-all book, and she bashed Sinatra and bashed a lot of other people. And Brinner said to me in the limo going back to the hotel, he says, I'm never going to write a tell-all book. I would never do that to the people I work with or whoever I know. And he died 10 years later, and he never wrote the book. And when you ask me if I could tell stories that would make your hair curl, I'm never writing a book. I don't think as a professional that you tell all the things you know.
You know, I really do respect that. Even though we'd love to hear at least the funny and the light
stories. I have some doozies, but I'm just not going to do it. And I didn't – truthfully, everything is up in my head. I never took notes. I never kept a journal. Even to this day, it's all up in my head. I don't even have a computer in my office. The kids say my brain is my computer.
Well, I tell the folks here that you're sitting here, and there's a microphone and your glasses. There's no notes or anything.
Oh, there's never any notes. Never any notes.
Those memories have got to be terrific.
And I also have worked with every single mayor that since starting with Richard J. Daley, who my father was the city treasurer when he was the
mayor.
That's
what I was asking Ted.
The first thing that – one of the greatest things I ever did is I had Perry Como appearing at the Erie Crown Theater, and I took him to meet Mayor Daley. And it was just – it was so exciting. It was the first time I had ever been in the mayor's office. And, of course, Como was a family man, you know, and a Catholic like the mayor, and the mayor was just embracing him. He just loved him.
And you're talking about his honor now.
His honor, the first mayor. But then I also had the privilege of working with Jane Byrne when we did Taste of Chicago. I started Taste of Chicago when it was first on Michigan Avenue. I had the privilege of working with Sawyer very shortly. I worked with Harold Washington on the marathon, which now is the LaSalle Bank Marathon. But I did handle the marathon for many years when Beatrice Foods presented it. So, and then, of course, I've now have had the privilege of working with this mayor, who's the best thing that ever happened to Chicago. I've done many things with him. We opened Old Navy on State Street. I opened the Oriental Theater with him. I opened the LaSalle. I sat with him at the opening of the LaSalle Bank Theater because Maggie was not there that night, so I was his date that night.
Isn't it great to have government?
He's the best. I mean, he's the best thing that ever happened to this city. He's just he's
I
the
could
greatest.
Not agree more.
He's the greatest.
A side note, have you seen the play His Honor?
No, I have not.
You got to get out and see that. Yeah. I think you would appreciate it.
I have not seen it, and I suppose I should.
It's a homage to him.
Yeah. Well, it should be a homage to him. He's made this the greatest city in the world. I mean, there is no place like Chicago.
I don't know if you know this, but when he died, I was a police officer at that time.
The old man.
The old man died.
Yeah.
And it was 10 below zero the night of his wake. I was working midnights. I drove down to the wake by the house. The line was 3 blocks long.
You want me to
at
tell
3
you,
in the morning.
You want me to tell you the best story that nobody even knows?
Sure.
When I was 16 years old, a young man by the name of Emmett Till was killed down in Mississippi. And the funeral was here in Chicago. And the mayor, for some reason, couldn't attend. He couldn't go. And my father was sent as the representative of the city. And I, even at that time, I still loved show business and I loved excitement. And I said to my father, Daddy, I got to go to this funeral with you. So he took me to the funeral. We got there. There were 25,000 people. He found the nearest police officer and he said to them, you hold on to Margie's hand and don't you let it go. Because, we, you know, they didn't know what was going to happen at that funeral.
That's
and my true. Father gave the eulogy. on behalf of the city at that funeral. And last year or the year before, when all this conversation came about the autopsy and everything, I could have called up one of the papers and told them I was there, but I didn't want to get involved. You know, it was something that happened a long time ago, and it was tragic, and it would never – I don't think something like that would happen today. But that's what one of my first experiences of that sort of thing in life.
Wow.
I was there.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I was the only young person there, young girl there, and that was something.
Yeah, that wasn't. And there's been a couple of plays written about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. But I'm not involved. And I was only there as a spectator, you know. And my father spoke, and he was great. He was a great speaker.
So what got you to get into the promotion and public relations
business? Well, I've told the story 100 times. I was a housewife, and I had 2 little children, and I was bored. And I didn't know what to do with myself. And I wanted to work, but I was equipped to do nothing. I went to college for 3 years, and I didn't, you know. Then I got married and had kids. And I said to my father, I've got to get a job. I've got to do something. And he was very friendly with Billy and Arthur Wirtz. And he called up Bill Wirtz, and he said to Bill Wirtz, he said, I have a gorgeous daughter who's equipped to do nothing. And she needs a job. So Billy said, well, send her down, and I'll talk with her. Well, I was a huge sports fan, still am to this day. Everybody laughs at me because I read the sports section first. And I went and I had – this was 1967, and I went and had this interview with Bill Wirtz, and we sat in a room about the size of where we are right now, and he was a smoker and I wasn't, and he smoked cigarettes for 4 hours, and we talked about Bobby Ho and Stan Mikita and the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bulls and everybody. And I thought to myself, when is he going to get to the job? I mean, you know – I could use a job. And at the end of the 4 hours, he said to me, kid, you have a great gift of gab, and I think you'd be good in PR. And I went to work for Billy Wirtz, which was then the Furniture Mart. And I stayed there for, about 2 or 3 years, and then I went out and opened my own business. My father said to him, and it's become like a family joke with the Wirtzes and the Korshaks. He says, Korshaks don't type. She doesn't want to be a secretary. Okay? So anyway, we've come the full circle. And when Streisand was coming to town, who do you think called me to handle Streisand? Mr. Wirtz.
Wow.
He took the second – the first night was a guarantee, and he took the second night. And he called me, and he said, you have to help me. And
yeah, I imagine the risk factor.
Second night, there was a risk factor. Sure. And I went to work for Mr. Wirtz again 38 years – 40 years later, because I started with him in 67. And I said to Billy, we've got to get this Chicago Tribune. You know, she was on the cover of the Tribune.
Right.
That was something I worked on for weeks to get it done. And she didn't want to do any interviews, but we really pushed her, and she did the interview. And I did it out of respect for Mr. Wirtz, because he gave me my first job, and I will never forget it. He started me.
Well, that's a Chicago trait that I really respect, the loyalty of coming
here. He wrote me a letter after the engagement, and he said to me, thank you for everything that you did. And he said, you have the brains and the moxie of your father and your uncle. And you are the best. I have never gotten a letter like that in all my years in business.
That's got to be a treasure.
And he wrote a letter to Barbara Streisand's manager and said, you should be honored that Margie Korshak is representing you, and that her father and her uncle were dear friends of me and my father and did lots of work for us, and she is the best at what she does.
Well, one of the testimonies to your talents and the way you've set up your company is you have clients that have been with you for a long time, which is folks in the public relations advertising business, people move around all
the time. My oldest customer is McDonald's for Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana, and we just celebrated our 20th anniversary with them.
How do you keep a client for
20 years? Well, we service them. We kill ourselves. I mean, time is of no essence here. We work nights. It's called whatever the job takes. That's what we do. And Louise Edwards, who's been with me for over 30 years, has handled McDonald's from the first day in 1986, and she still handles it.
Wow.
And she's still here. And then I have Janie Goldberg, who's been with me also the same amount of time as Louise, and she runs the entertainment and restaurant division. So I have 2 great people that have been with me over 30 years, and I think that's a testament to this agency, too.
Well, it's got to be a testament to how you deal with people, too, that they're that loyal that they stay. That's unheard of in
our business.
People move around so much.
We have people at lower levels that have left, but Louise and Janie have been here forever.
Well, you know, in doing research for this interview, I talked to a few of your former employees that are in the business too,
and they
all
say?
Speak highly of you.
Oh, well, that's nice. Thank
that,
you.
That's got to be.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of them that trained and met all their contacts with me, and now they go out and they open their own businesses and they compete with me. But that's life.
How do you feel about that? Are you honored by that? I'm just
I curious. Have mixed emotions about
okay.
it.
Okay.
I have mixed emotions. I'm proud of them, but I'm a little resentful when they take clients that I've had for years and they pitch those clients. I don't think that's real ethical, but they do it. So
that's
business.
The nature of the business.
That's nature of all businesses.
Yeah.
It's not just the PR business. That's the nature of all businesses.
Yeah, that's
you
all
have
business.
To agree to
What's
that.
The future for Margie Korshak and your company?
They're going to carry me. I used to laugh. Cup used to say to me, they're going to carry me out over the typewriter. Well, typewriters are long since gone. I have a husband who works very hard and loves what he does, and he's not going to retire. So therefore, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to be here as long as everybody wants me. The future is way out there. The future is out there. I'm going to stay here as long as I can. As long as people think I do a good job and my company does a good job, that's how long I'm going to be here. Well, so that could be the mysteries out there.
Of all the celebrities, give us a couple of stories of good, you know, nice stories that you don't
know.
Oh,
with Henry Fonda. It was before he came to town, it was get grapefruit juice and load up the refrigerator. And then he came out to my house for brunch. And Shirley, his wife, brought the laundry. She did the laundry in my washing machines. I lived in Glencoe at that time. So that was, you know, that was a fun kind of thing.
And you said Sinatra had certain
Sinatra had certain idiosyncrasies. I sat next to him one night at dinner at the Pump Room. He has his bottle of Jack Daniels there. And here's one of the most exciting men in the world that's met everybody. And he's talking to me about Barney Miller reruns that he watches in Palm Springs all the time.
Fabulous.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? I'm trying to think of who else that I've had. I've had great experiences with all the mayors in Chicago. I mean, this Mayor Daley and I grew up together because his father and my father were comrades. And whenever we get together, we laugh about certain stories that we remember about our fathers and things that happened then.
Yeah, that's got to be an interesting
Yeah, one day we were at a luncheon, and it was for the opening of Filene's, and he was sitting next to me, and there was somebody across the table. I won't mention any names because it's not nice. And he says to me, "Isn't that so-and-so? Didn't he go to jail?" And I said, "That's it, the mayor." That's and we sort of giggled, you know.
Well, that's
yeah,
yeah.
That's but he's special. He really is.
One last question.
Sure.
You just came off a major campaign for Pirate Queen. And the opening was spectacular.
Yes, yes.
And,
the party was spectacular. It was all spectacular. But I love the show.
I've
seen
too.
It 5 times, and I loved it. But it needs work. The book needs work. I think that the story has to be clearer. I love the music.
I do too.
When he sings "I'll Be There," I could go through the roof. But I felt like that about Fantine singing "I Dreamed a Dream" in Les Mis. You know, to me, it's the same kind of song. But it needs work, and Moya and John are fantastic people, the producers. And they'll get it right. They'll go back to New York, and they'll work on it. They've brought
Richard
in
Maltby's
Richard Maltby's come in, and Graziella Daniello work with Frank Galati. And they'll fix it because it's beautiful on stage. The costumes are beautiful. The scenery is beautiful. Some people criticize the music. I love the music.
I do too.
I think it's gorgeous.
I agree.
But it needs work. And I'm not – there's certain things about Queen Elizabeth. I didn't like that high-pitched voice. But, you know, I'm not the director. So, you know – They'll make it right.
That's what I said, and I believe that. Now, that's got to be fun and a real challenge for you.
Well, it's a challenge.
When you're doing – I mean,
it's a challenge.
Got several
shows. You get aggravation.
Moving out had problems.
Yeah, but they fixed
got it right.
Twyla
yes.
fixed it, and it went on to be a big hit in New York. But then you had Sweet Smell of Success that didn't turn out to be a big hit in New York. You know, so producers, when I walked into the first rehearsal, I knew 5 minutes after I was sitting there, I said, this is – a mega hit. I just knew.
Oh, the producers. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But when I sat in Sweet Smell of Success after 5 minutes, I knew it had problems. I mean, you just, after doing it for so long, you just get.
Yeah.
And Spamalot, the same thing. But Spamalot had its problems,
right.
And they had to fix it. They fixed it beautifully.
Do they listen to you besides the promotional?
No. Okay. No. I don't get into that. I'm not the creative person. I'm just I'm the flack. I'm a flack. That's what a press agent is, a flack.
A flack.
That's a slang for a press agent.
Okay, and so you're going to keep at this as long as
I'm going to keep at it as long as anybody wants
well,
me.
Well, with the kind of energy you have and the kind of organization you have, I think we're going to see you around for
okay.
a long time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I thank you so much for this interview.
You.
Thank you.
And if you want to come back and hear more, I'm always available.
Okay, I'm sure we will.
Thank you for listening. And remember, go see a play this week.
thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. Of course, we'd like to thank Marge Korshak for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. Also, I would like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer, without whom this podcast would not be possible. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, wishing you a Merry Christmas and reminding you that theater's still happening. Don't miss it.